From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama praising House and Senate negotiators for working out a final version of the biggest overhaul of the nation's financial regulations since the Great Depression.
Recovery Act, health insurance reform, education reform, and we are now on the brink of passing Wall Street reform. And at the G20 summit this weekend, I'll work with other nations not only to coordinate our financial reform efforts, but to promote global economic growth while ensuring that each nation can pursue a path that is sustainable for its own public finances.
President speaking as he departs the White House for the G20 summit. NPR's Korva Coleman joins us now. Korva, what are some of the highlights of this legislation?
Well, Craig, it sharply limits banks that get federal insurance dollars from making risky investments with their own money. It also creates a new agency protecting consumers. And the legislation gives the government the power to liquidate failing financial firms. Now, the Congressional Budget Office estimates all this will cost $20 billion over a decade, and it will be financed by a new fee on banks. Lawmakers plan to vote on the bill next week and send it to Mr. Obama before July 4th.
Thanks, Craig. Korva. NPR's Korva Coleman in Washington. It was close, but not close enough for Democrats in the Senate, who've fallen three votes shy of the margin they needed to advance an extension of unemployment benefits for hundreds of thousands of jobless Americans. Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin.
We are asking only to extend them an unemployment check so they can feed their families, literally feed their families, for the next few months. And the Republicans continue to filibuster and continue to say no.
But Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell says Democrats failed to muster the necessary support for cloture, in other words, to cut off debate and push the bill forward, for one reason.
The biggest reason the cloture vote we just had failed is because Democrats simply refused to pass a bill that doesn't add to the debt.
Democrats did prevail with a measure temporarily sparing doctors from a big pay cut in the fees they get from Medicare. The president, as we said, is en route to Toronto now for the economic summit, where he'll confer with leaders of the world's other major developed and developing nations. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the leaders have shown a lot of cooperation in dealing with the financial crisis, but some cracks have begun appearing in that united front.
European countries have begun to scale back government spending for fear of runaway budget deficits. President Obama is urging his fellow leaders not to pull the plug too quickly, arguing they could choke off the still fragile recovery. Mr. Obama will be meeting one-on-one with several world leaders, including Chinese President Hu Jintao. Last week, China announced it would allow its undervalued currency to appreciate, making U.S. goods more competitive. So far, though, there's been little actual movement in the currency. The U.S. will be watching closely to see if China delivers on its promise. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News from Washington. The Commerce Department is revising downward its measure of growth in the U.S. economy during the first quarter a bit, from 3% down to 2.7%. Still, the gross domestic product, the measure of goods and services produced by the economy, has risen for three straight quarters now. The British Archives has just released a 60-year-old top-secret intelligence-sharing agreement between the U.S. and the British government. As Larry Miller reports from London, that deal formed the basis of cooperation through the Cold War and beyond.
The 7-page document details the agreement to share almost all information gathered on foreign governments, militaries, and other organizations. The existence of such a deal has always been denied. Britain's National Archives says the 1946 document represents a crucial moment in the development of the special relationship between two wartime allies. An earlier draft was vague, in that the U.S. did not want to allow the British complete access to American intelligence. The final version, though, was clear, with six kinds of intelligence to be fully shared. The two countries also pledged not to collect intelligence against each other or to acknowledge there was such a deal. In the years following, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand were added to the agreement. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Two hurricanes in the Pacific are both strengthening. Hurricane Celia, now a powerful Category 5 storm with sustained winds of 160 miles an hour, but it's moving farther out to sea, posing no threat to land. Hurricane Darby is now a Category 2 storm with winds of 105 miles an hour. The National Hurricane Center says Darby could take a turn toward Mexico's southern Pacific coast next week, but it's still too early to make any firm predictions. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.